What the hell is South by Southwest?
It's like some nerd show.
A music festival in Austin, Texas.
Is it music? I thought it was like tech.
Wait.
Well, half of it's tech and half of it's music. Like,
I thought it was an airline.
Appropriate.
Jake, yeah, I'm serious. I will hurt you if you try. That's not posturing.
Well, I'm upper class, high society. God's gift to ballroom.
Our next guest is one of the masterminds behind Blogs with Balls, the great conference series of sports bloggers. He also is the editor of the sports blog Hugging Harold Reynolds, and is an account executive at Taylor PR based in New York. Is that right?
Well, I'm actually was a senior account executive at Taylor. As of this week, I am with Catalyst PR as an account supervisor on the digital side. So,
well, that's this week. Okay, awesome.
Quite all right, though. I just had to make that clear. But I appreciate any ECW fans in the studio there, because that was Balls Mahoney's theme song that you just gave me coming in from lovely Nutley, New Jersey.
That's quite awesome.
What's going on, everyone?
Yes, Don Povia joining
hey
us
there.
Finally. We had Chris Lucas on. And we spent the better part of that interview talking about sort of the revolution between sports blogging media, advertising, the sort of convergence happening there, and really the opportunities it's opened up for not only us, but also for you. Like, you've sort of been, I don't want to say the invisible hand behind that, but you've been selling this to a lot of different people, and it seems to have generated some success for you. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess the invisible hand is it. You know, I kind of appreciated the blogger anonymity that came along with that life that I had. But I found, you know, kind of as you described, the merging of marketing and sports blogging and reporting, whatever you might want to call it, that you really need to put a face on things. And I did find myself sort of as the guy kind of making the deals and moving and shaking and making things happen, and, you know, almost like a more than anything, just a conduit. And next thing I know, it's becoming more, presenting more opportunities for me, and I've been lucky to associate now with two great PR/marketing firms in New York, and it's worked out.
Now, what has been the impetus of people coming over to new media? Is it the rise to prominence? Is it people generally accepting it? Is it advertisers looking for cheaper ways to get their message out? If you had to pick one, what would you say it would be?
I mean, first and foremost, I think it's generational. There's you talk about the 18 to 24, the 18 to 30-year-olds, and, you know, basically have come up on email, have been there for the advent of the internet boom, if you will. So I think first is the audience, is particularly in our fields that we're trying to reach, is just that's the way to reach them. I think that's primary right there. Also, in terms of just cutting through the clutter right now, I mean, with DVR and, and TiVo and everything else, it's TV isn't what it once was. I mean, there's also 700 channels to choose from. So really, how do you hone in on people? I think with the internet, you have metrics, you have analytics that you can point to, you know, very definitive demographics and say, here's who I want to reach, where can I go and get them, okay, here it is, now how do I make, here's the tricky part where, I've kind of found my niche, is how do I find the right message now to meet them?
Tangible results that you can actually deliver to people that are basically like numbers obsessed to begin with.
Right, I mean, I think that's sort of the internet part of it, the blog part of it. I mean, now it's people are just trying to find some sort of magic bullet to measure sort of the social media aspect. I mean, you know, one thing that I heard kind of coming into this sort of agency life is people looking to make things viral, whereas I think now the keyword is make things shareable. People are going to share it on Twitter, they're going to share it on Facebook or whatever social media, Friendster, whatever they're using.
Friendster, right.
I mean, how do you measure that? I mean, it's really difficult, but, there's no silver bullet. I think that's sort of the next step is, yes, with the sites, you got something tangible, and then it can just take a life of its own.
You made a joke about Friendster, which is oddly apropos, because I think the the logic is with some of these social media programs is that we get on Facebook, we get on Twitter, and that is our silver bullet, and that's it. But there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, that really kind of one of the things that I saw is that a lot of the brands that I was working with were just focused on, okay, we got to get on Facebook, we got to get on Twitter. But, I mean, now with tablets and, you know, and just mobile stuff too, I mean, you just can't limit it there. I think that's sort of the cost of entry is Facebook, Twitter maybe if you're lucky. But you kind of have to stay ahead of the curve rather than playing catch-up. And I think those are the brands that are being more successful, the ones that are out there taking chances, being early adopters, and then everybody else is playing catch-up to them.
I think one of those brands has been, I should say one of those firms has been Procter & Gamble, and basically put their brands in our hands with this Blogger Fantasy League, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I look at
right?
as your, sort of your, your Ulysses. In terms of like selling this idea to not only P&G but also the NFL and getting that started. Can you talk about sort of that process and the discussions you had and some of the questions that you might have heard from either side there?
Sure. I mean, the NFL and P&G had this relationship, you know, obviously prior to me coming on. Last season was their first season with the official sponsorship, the official locker room products of the NFL. With Blogs of Balls 3, if you remember, P&G was actually a prominent sponsor. I mean, their signage was everywhere. We had David Palmer, who was their sports marketing chief, was speaking there too. And,
one
of the things that came to us, and again, before my time at Taylor, who represents them for PR, was they kind of came to us and said, hey, we want to make some inroads with sort of, you know, the sports influencers, the people that attend these conferences, how can we sort of integrate ourselves there? And if you remember, they really didn't have something that they were selling or any kind of direct activation.
No.
But it was more sort of laying the groundwork for sort of future activations and really presenting themselves and saying, hey, we want to be a part of this conversation. So, again, before me even coming into the picture, I mean, they already had this mindset that these are people that they want to reach and start interacting with. In terms of the BFL coming about, when I did get there, they actually had a program that they were looking to integrate into fantasy football. Don't want to go into too many details, but
sure.
The long and short of it is that the platforms themselves couldn't accommodate what they were looking to do. And they really wanted to have something around fantasy football for sort of their male targets. And, it was just something that the technology just wasn't there yet. And, I threw this out there because of the fact that I think I was in two or three Blogger Fantasy Leagues last year. And one of the things that I am the biggest apostle for, or whatever you want to call it, is just this integration. If you remember sort of the videos Chris and I did with Blogs of Balls and Yard Barker.
Yes, and the MyTown series.
Right, the MyTown, T-Mobile stuff.
Absolutely.
There was another brand sort of dipping their toe in the water, if you will, and it was overly produced. We had a professional, camera crew and stuff, but the idea just really stuck with me as like, how can we make sort of the blogger sort of the messenger for the brands, for the players themselves? And that's kind of where the thinking for the BFL started coming from, is like, hey, these guys are doing this anyway. They have these audiences that we already talked about with the measurable demographic that they're trying to hit.
Right.
And I mean,
right.
You know, guys like you, guys like at KSK, guys like Shanoff and the guys that are in this league, I mean, they have audiences. I always say, don't just look at the numbers, but look at the communities that exist on these pages. It's the commentators, it's the repeat people coming back. So it's not just the numbers, but the interactivity. So these are really influencers, and I think we chose a diverse group too. So I mean, that's kind of where the concept is, hey, we want to hit these people. How can we do it? We have to really start thinking, turning the wheels again. And, to their credit, P&G was very receptive. The whole team at Taylor, I mean, there was some lift that went on. Because of the official partnership with the NFL, there's a lot of do's and don'ts. There's also the Players Association that's involved.
Oh, yeah.
So there was really a lot of hoops that you had to jump through. But I think, it was a good collaborative effort. And I think it was kind of putting their money where their mouth is. I mean, being at Blogs of Balls was one thing. But then actually taking the next step and saying, you know what, we trust these people. We understand these platforms. And this is what we want to do. And I really think it's unprecedented. I keep telling people, if you go to the Facebook page, they're linking up Gunaxon and With Leather and, Steph Shradley over at the Houston Chronicle, these people that are in the leagues. Or if you go to any other, you know, corporate Facebook page. They're just pushing out corporate messaging. I mean, we're pushing out fantasy football, football stuff for this audience. And then obviously we work some of the messaging in the branding. But really, I mean, that's what it's centered around is enthusiasts and a community as opposed to the brand being the focal point.
It's the salesmanship of awesomeness.
That works too.
I want to talk about if I'm not mistaken, is going to be Blogs with Balls 4 at South by Southwest.
Yeah, we're actually we're deeming it Blogs with Balls 3.5. We don't think it's going to be the full blown 4. Whereas before we've had 5, 6, 7 panels at the previous 3, we're only allotted one panel out of 200, and we're the sole, as far as I can tell, we're the sole sports focused panel at this event for, you know, interactive. I mean, it's South by Southwest interactive, and we're the only sports represented there, which, you know, we called it a coup, we called it an invasion, but, you know, this is an extension of what we've been talking about. But so it's not going to be quite 4, it's going to be more 3.5.
Right.
But Chris is actually in town today, Kyle's in town. We got meetings just lined up the last 2 days with a lot of our previous sponsors, with new sponsors. People are coming to us now saying, hey, how can we get involved with you in South by Southwest? And we have to explain to them, well, we need to create something. So we're actually looking at doing probably about 3 sort of parties with mini, I wouldn't even call them panels, I would say more like hosts for some conversation, but then really open it up and have something different.
Now, see, that sounds great because I like to drink a lot at these events, if you hadn't noticed. So, like, you know, the party to panel ratio, I think, is much more to my liking this year.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, here's the thing, though, with these, and we can't count on having our sort of Blogs with Balls audience there. I mean, there's some of these panels have 8,000 people at them, but they're a tech set and they're a music set primarily.
Right.
I don't know how many people of our Blogs with Balls fans are going to fly out there just for one sports panel, for the prices that they're charging as well. So our idea is, hey, we need to create these parties that are not only going to appeal to our sports people because we need to, we need to keep it real, but need to attract this other audience. And how do we do that? We're going to have to infuse some big names, have some creative stuff. Everybody's having parties down there. Why are ours going to be different? Because ours are going to be fun.
Ours are going to be nerd-free, except for the sport nerd types.
They always are. So, this is a, it's something different. It's going to be a different twist. We don't want to sell it as, something that we've done before, and I think these have always evolved. But it's just the structure of how this thing's set up is that we want to try to cross-pollinate with this larger community and show them that, hey, we are internet interactive, whatever you want to call it. We're pretty important in our own right, and we've never gotten the credit for it. And the way we sold the panel in our pitch was, we're really redefining how sports are covered in America. So if you want to look at how news is being covered, I mean, look no further than what the sports blogs are doing.
Absolutely. And I think, other people, Jamie Mottram is the first one that comes to mind, are taking that approach to news and entertainment, which has been done somewhat before, but I think not in sort of a it's not that blog model isn't being pushed or wasn't being pushed, I should say, like it is now with what's happening at Yahoo, and that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Jamie was one of the first persons I thought of and reached out to. I mean, when we're looking to do sort of our main panel, Dan Shanoff is sort of the professional moderator. He's going to be our moderator. But we're looking to hit 4 sort of sects, like one sort of bloggers that are recognized, in both amongst their peers as credible, but also by the mainstream media as credible, like guys like Jamie and Spencer and Skeets and Florio, guys like that.
Florio's going to be on the panel? That'll be pretty
smart. No, I'm saying these types of people, we want to fill it with one of those, but we need to kind of balance it. I mean, we're looking at something like that.
So what you're saying is I have no shot at making this panel at all.
Well, hey, now.
You can tell me.
I wouldn't say
they've been hurting my feelings all night, so it's no big deal.
I wouldn't say the main panel, but some of these parties, I think you might be a good host for it. As you said, you know how to do it up.
I do.
The guys you got sure do like to talk about themselves.
Yeah, what happens? I think that's what most of these conferences end up being anyhow. So you need to really find the right fit. But again, I think it's not just appealing to our audience. We need to attract people to come watch this that that aren't that familiar with us too. So it's a fine balance.
I have a question for you, Don. Now, a lot of athletes are going into the broadcasting world. Do you see them you know, retired athletes who can't make it into that slowly getting into blogging in the future?
You know, I don't see why they wouldn't, but I mean, the smart ones are doing it while they're playing, but doing it the right way. I mean, they're almost like creating these alternative marketing avenues for themselves.
Kind of like,
I mean,
John Thornton.
I look at a guy like, I mean, Gilbert Arenas. I mean, he wasn't a superstar per se when he started, but I mean, he built such a cult following that I think it opened doors for him, and you know, with marketing and advertising and stuff like that. And you know, I really think it depends on the personality. Just because you're an athlete doesn't make you a good, you know, writer, blogger, or even analyst. So I think it's on a one-by-one basis. I mean, we talked with Blackestone, who's been involved with, you know, with some of the stuff, the Blogs of Balls that we've done, and we had him on our podcast, and one of the things that he said he tells his students is, like, you have all these free tools available to you to reach the world. Like, go do it. Go start building your portfolio and, you know, and practice. And I think they have the opportunity to do so now. But I think, you know, the good ones you recognize, the bad ones you kind of laugh at Twitter and bait them into arguments and get blocked like I have.
I spent some time with Blackestone at Blogs of Balls 2 in Vegas. Great guy, awesome guy. Spent a lot of time with us. He gave me his card with his cell phone number on it. And I still haven't called him. Do you think I could call him up and be like, hey man, remember last year when we hung out? Let's go get some ribs or some shit.
He's in your area. I mean, he's not too far away. So.
No, that's true.
I'll tell you what, man. I was totally impressed with him. I mean, there's no pretentiousness about him whatsoever, but totally professional too. I mean, he can hang, he can talk on the level, but he knows the line and not to cross it. I couldn't have been more impressed with anybody than him. I mean, he was great.
I liked him a lot. He was, you know, and you know, part of the thing that Logs of Balls does is gives us a chance to sort of like interact with people that we would not otherwise. So. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Can you kind of give us? Picking up an echo. Can you give us sort of like you know, you mentioned it's just gonna be one panel. Are there going to be any sort of like maybe off-site panels that people could be a part of? Like, I mean, is that something you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. These parties are going to center around some sort of conversation, some sort of mini panel. The thing that we were thinking of, though, is like people that are going to the parties don't want to go and sit through another series of panels. They're kind of going to get away from all that. but we do want to, again, and part of the purpose of us wanting to be there is to introduce this other community to the people that matter in our community, or, you know, some of the people that matter.
Will there be any cosplay? Because those chicks that show up looking like Slave Leia, like, that's pretty badass.
Any what play? I didn't hear that.
Can we get some Slave Leia, like the Comic-Con shit?
I have no idea. I haven't been there. So I can't promise you, but I can't totally rule it out either.
Well, I'll take that as a definite maybe.
There you go.
Well, Don, listen, we said we'd cut you loose to date. Really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for the preview to Blogs of Balls 3.5 at Southwest in Austin, Texas. And do you have anything else you want to plug? You write at huggingharoldreynolds.com.
A direct ripoff of kissingsusiecolbert.com.
It's all good.
Thank you. No, doing some work. You know, as Shaky can attest, we were just kind of joking. You know, one of the roles that I've kind of slipped into nicely is kind of being this sort of go-between with blogs and different brands and companies. And, you know, like the BFL stuff, you know, Shaky's had an opportunity to do some interviews and have some more coming up as well. As, you know, I'm easy to find. Hit me up if you're interested in doing some of this stuff. And if it works, I really enjoyed kind of opening these doors and look forward to keep doing it.
Yep, that dude is everywhere.
I try.
So this Justin Tuck thing, that's on the 12th, right?
Justin Tuck is on the 12th. It's also going to be coinciding with another player in a different city, but I won't release that just yet until we get things finalized.
Does his name rhyme with Indomicon Sue?
It might. It could.
All right.
Damn you guys.
Don, thanks a lot. It was fun. We'll be in touch.
All right, everyone. Take
care.
Peace out.
See you, man.
Later.
All right, you guys are whispering over here like motherfuckers. What's going on?
Shaky has friends.
Shut up, Shaky.
We're looking forward to Josh Circle's massage and sports party.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I will talk about your fantasy football team and yes. rub your neck and back.
At the Szechuan House on Cleveland Avenue. Don Povium. Good guy. I forgot.
So, how are you doing in that Procter & Gamble league?
Not bad. I think I lost this week. I lost to fucking Bassett, who was on our show a couple weeks ago.
Angela?
The other Bassett. Brian Bassett.